Over the past couple of decades, life has become very convenient. Think about it for a moment or two. We go to convenience stores in order to buy convenience foods. When we go out to a fast food restaurant, and even some regular restaurants, we don't bother getting out of the car because that's inconvenient. We go through the drive-thru window. Same at the bank, going inside and handing a teller a deposit or making a withdrawal, whatever is not necessary. We just pull right up to the drive-thru window and do our business there. And that's good. That's fine. I even heard of a funeral home that has a drive-thru window in order for the convenience of people who don't want to spend a lot of time in the funeral home, but just want to drive by and pay their final respects. One of the great things about the convenience of this day and age is the technology that we enjoy. Rather than going to stores anymore, we can go online. For many of the grocery markets and superstores and so forth, we can place our order and they do all the shopping for us, and all we have to do is drive up and they bring out the everything that we want, put it right in our cars. And not only that, the convenience of paying for things with credit cards and so forth, we live in a very convenient society. And that's good. That helps us to be able to appropriate our time, be more productive, and that's a wonderful thing. But convenience has its drawbacks as well. And one of the biggest fears that I have is we become so accustomed to convenience that when something becomes inconvenient, especially something in the will of God, we say, well, just can't do it. It's inconvenient. This morning, I want to look at the account of the birth of Christ, particularly Mary and Joseph's involvement in it, and ask the question, if this was happening in this day and age, would Mary and Joseph have gone through what they went through in order to accomplish the will of God? Or would they say, no, that's just too inconvenient for me? If you have your Bibles, open with me to Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin with the passage right from the very beginning. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Here Joseph and Mary are required to make a trip from Nazareth up in northern Israel in Galilee down to Bethlehem. If they could make the trip as the crow flies, which they actually could do, it would be a trip of about 70 miles. Unfortunately, though, they would be going through Samaria in order to get there. The Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other at all. And consequently, for the two of them to be traveling that way would put their lives in danger. And so it was customary for Jews, in order to get down into Judea, that they would travel southeast to the Jordan Plains. And there they would travel down the Jordan River, probably to Jericho. And then from Jericho, ascend up into Jerusalem, and then on down to Bethlehem, which was about 4 miles away from Jerusalem. All in all, this made the trip about 90 miles in length. Many people believe that Mary rode upon a donkey. I just recently read this week an article where the author says he doubts very much that she did any, or at the very most, very little riding on a donkey. Taking a donkey on a 90-mile trek is something that donkeys are not necessarily favorable to doing. They are stubborn animals. And consequently, he believes, and I think he might be right, that they walked the entire 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now consider this. You're 9 months pregnant. You're about to deliver at any moment, and you go on a 90-mile hike. I can just picture the scene between Joseph and Mary. And Joseph said, hey, we got a letter from the IRS. We got to go down to Bethlehem and register for this tax. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We're required to do it, and we need to do it right away. But Joe, I'm a child. I can't walk 90 miles to do that. It's very inconvenient. But in the timing of God, that was the will of God. God used a taxation, or at least a registration for a taxation, as some Bible scholars believe, to cause them to go this 90-mile trek. And they gave themselves to it. And in so doing, accomplished the will of God. It was an inconvenient thing to travel at this time. But they did it. Well, they get down there. And actually, before they would get down there, I can understand Mary saying to Joseph, okay, we're going to need housing when we get there. We're going to be there at least overnight. Call ahead and see if the family is there, that we can make some reservations with them to stay in the home of one of our relatives. Oh, wait. We don't have phones. We can't do that. Well, get on the internet and see if the Holiday Inn has a room that's available. Oh, wait. There are no Holiday Inns, at least not yet. There are inns. And there's no internet to contact them. Boy, that's inconvenient. You mean we're going to have to go on a 90-mile trek with no certainty whatsoever that when we get there, there's going to be a place for us to stay? That is very inconvenient. I'm not going. I can see that happening, can't you? But yet they went because it was the will of God. Well, it, as we read in the scripture here, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room at the inn. They get down there and the inns are full. Apparently the relatives' houses were full as well, because that's where they would have gone in order of priority. For a Jew to go to an inn, most of the inns were operated by Gentiles. And consequently, the Jews would not seek to have any contact with the Gentiles. They wouldn't partake of that. But now, they have no other alternative. And the inns are full. What is left is a manger, a place where animals of the people that are staying in the inns are kept. What a terrible, terrible, terrible place in order to stay. And yet that was the will of God. I can see Mary saying, Joseph, we can't stay here. Well, where do you want to go? And that's all that was left to him. The inconvenience of not having adequate housing in which to give birth. But they stayed there. Okay, so now they give birth. The story goes on, drop on down to verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Understand that we're talking in only a short period of time between the actual birth of Jesus and the arrival of the shepherds. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us the exact amount of time, but it can't be very long because he's still lying in a manger. Can you imagine giving birth? There you are, and it's a time of intimacy. You want to be just the three of you there alone. It's a time of medical necessity for things that are going on that requires some privacy. And now here come this group of men that you've never, ever met before. Absolute strangers. And they say, we want to see this baby. What are you, nuts? Get on out of here. This is our time. This is not a convenient time to meet this baby. Come back in a day or two. But it was necessary in the will of God that these shepherds see this child and make known to the world around him the good news of the incarnation. And consequently, they suffered the inconvenience of having immediate guests, unknown guests, right after the birth of Jesus. Okay, here's the next thing in the story. Luke chapter 2, drop on down to verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, and was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Here are 2 inconvenient things. Number 1, the days of her purification. According to the law of Moses, Mary was required to remain in the house, not to go out at all, for 40 days. Can you imagine being cooped up for 40 days, not being able to go anywhere? Just think of all the price reductions down at Walmart that she would have missed out on. All the sales and so forth that she could not attend. All the celebrations, the public celebrations of various events. Just the camaraderie of people. Now, people could come to her, but she couldn't go to people. What an inconvenience that was. But that was the law of the Lord, and so she was obedient to it, even though it was inconvenient. And now after 40 days, they go up to Jerusalem to the temple to present the Lord Jesus in the temple as being holy unto the Lord and to provide the sacrifice of redemption for the firstborn son. Remember, they've been away from home for 40 days. No income during that time. Now, in this time, the wise men have come and presented their gifts. And so, consequently, they had some resources, but those resources were going to be needed for future expenses. And consequently, they had an expense, and they presented the Lord Jesus with the sacrifice of 2 pigeons, the offering of the poor. How are we going to do this? How are we going to make ends meet? Here's an expense that we just don't need now. If we could put it off to some other time, it would be fine. It's not that I'm against paying the thing, but right now, money is tight and I can't afford this. It's an inconvenience to me. But the law says you need to do that. And in order to accomplish the will of God, they obeyed the law with an inconvenient sacrifice. Now, if you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. There's one last thing that I want to consider in the inconvenience of the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. And when they were departed, and they here are the wise men, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise. and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. I want you to go, and because the child's life is in danger, I want you to go to Egypt. Lord? Egypt? I mean, can't we go somewhere else in Israel? Why Egypt? That's really inconvenient. Lord, I've never been to Egypt. I don't know my way around Egypt. I don't know anybody who lives in Egypt. I don't know the customs of the people. I'm not familiar with the currency. I don't know how they do things. Lord, I'm a fish out of water by going to Egypt. Why can't I stay in Israel where everything is convenient? A couple of years ago, when John and Andrew were still living at home, we decided to take a vacation trip to Toronto. The boys really wanted to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and so we said, okay, that'll be a vacation trip for us. And we're traveling up, we go across at Niagara Falls, and we get into Canada, and it was lunchtime. And as we're traveling up the interstate there, well, what would be our interstate, we're traveling up the highway there, I noticed a McDonald's that was off to the side. I said, well, let's go here and we'll get some lunch quickly. So we get over to the McDonald's, and we're looking on the board, and the McDonald's in our areas, they had their value meals, and they were all numbered the same way. I don't remember exactly all the numbers, but I do remember that number one was a Big Mac meal. Number two was a double or two cheeseburgers meal. And I forget what the other ones were, but we got into this McDonald's, and number one was not a Big Mac, and number two was not two cheeseburgers. And I said to the boys, look, their numbers are different here in Canada. John looked at me and said, no, they're not that. They still have 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and so on. After I smacked him, no, I did smack him. But we get into a different place, and we're unfamiliar with things, and that's not really convenient. Not only that, I had to change our currency from our money into Canadian money, and the exchange rate was just driving me crazy. I finally figured out, pay for everything with a credit card and let the credit card do the exchange rate. But not only that, then we're going down the highway, and rather than the speed being in miles per hour, it's in kilometers per hour, and I had to figure out what the difference was there. Fortunately, the speedometer on my car had the both miles per hour and kilometers per hour. But then we have to go to the gas station, and we're not talking price per gallon, we're talking price per liter. I was thoroughly confused, frustrated. That just wasn't convenient to me. But yet, in order to accomplish the will of God, verse 14 says, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Joseph and Mary really had no idea that staying in Egypt would fulfill a biblical prophecy. But it did. They did have the idea that the Word of God has instructed us to do this. And despite the great inconvenience, we will be obedient to the Lord. Now I ask you again, if the Christmas story that happened 2,000 years ago was being played out today with our familiarity, with our liking of convenience, would Mary and Joseph have gone through and fulfilled the will of God? Well, I think the answer is yes. because they are faithful people. But taking away the fact that the Scripture calls them just or righteous or faithful, if they were just ordinary folk, I suggest to you that the birth of Christ might not have ever happened. Why do I say that? Well, look at our society today. In many cases, being pregnant is considered by many an inconvenience. And consequently, our society has no qualms whatsoever of murdering a beautiful, innocent baby in the womb in order to live conveniently. I suggest to you that most in our society today would have not put up with the inconvenience of accomplishing the will of God in the birth of Israel's Messiah and the world's Savior. So what does that have to do with you? Well, the will of God still needs to be accomplished today. The Savior has come, that doesn't need to be accomplished again. But God has a will for you and I. A will that may not necessarily be convenient when it's done. And you say to yourself, okay, Lord, I have no problems doing that, but I can't do it right now. It's just not a convenient time. A will that brings upon you physical demands, like walking 90 miles under adverse conditions. Lord, I'll do that when the car gets fixed. Not now. Lord, I'll do that if I can make some preparations ahead of time so that I know that when I get this thing in gear, everything will work out fine. Lord, you're asking me to go to a place I've never been before, to a people I have no idea who they are and how they operate. Yeah. Sometimes God calls people into missions into foreign lands. And maybe that might be you. But Lord, it's just not convenient now. And I wonder how many times the will of God is not being accomplished today because it just seems inconvenient to do. I want to encourage you this morning. Mary and Joseph put up with all kinds of inconveniences. And how did it result? In their inconvenience, they brought to the world the greatest blessing that the world could ever experience. May I say to you that the will of God may not have the same results today as the birth of Christ. But in that the will of God is the will of God, there is no difference in the sight of God as to the importance of accomplishing the will of God. You accomplishing the will of God is just as important to God as Mary and Joseph in bringing forth the babe, Jesus Christ. Will you allow convenience to keep you from doing it? God help us to put up with a little inconvenience for the blessing of the world.